Good morning, church.
A
great joy once again to be with you this morning. So this morning, please turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter
17.
The title of this message, Trust Matters. We're reading from verse 5 to verse 13.
Matswatareng a omeletseng a lohatata a ahe naheng e lenyekete e hlokang baahi ho le tlona ona motho ya itshepetseng morena e tshepo ya hae e leng yena morena o tla tshwana le sefate se lemilweng pela metsi so metso ya sona e namelang pela molotswana ga se keke sa tshoswa Tu fihla ha le batama mahlaku a sona a madalana ka mehla ka nako ya komello ha sekeke sa tshwenyeha ka mehla se be a ithuana tsa sona pelu e tletse mano ho feta dintho tsohle e senyehile ho ekekeng ya phekolwa ke mang ya kang e utlwisisang ke nna morena ya lekolang dipelo mehopolo le ona o lekolwa ke nna ke putsa motho ho ya ka diketso tsa hae ho latela tholwana tsa mesebetsi ya hae jwalo ka nonyana e fuwa mang mahe e se a yona ya huwang ka mano le yena o jwalo bohareng ba ya bophelo ba hae maruo ao a tla mo fella qetellong bothato ba hae bo bonahale tone e tlotlehang e phahameng ha e sale ho tloha tshimolohong ke sona sebaka sa sekgalelo sa rona oo wena morena tshepo ya Iseraele bohle ba o furallang ba tla tlontlollwa bohle ba o furallang ba tla dibela goba ba furaletse morena diba sa metsi a bophelo.
From verse 5, chapter 17. Thus says the Lord, Cursed is the man who trusts in men and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by the water, that sends out its roots by the stream, and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remains green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind, to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. Like the partridge, that is the bed, that gathers a brood that she does not hatch, so is he who gets rich, but not by justice. In the midst of his days, they will leave him, and at his end, he will be a fool. A glorious throne set on high from the beginning is that place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be put to shame. Those who turn away from you shall be written on the earth, for they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. When you turn to the word of God, you cannot help but see, you cannot help but notice how serious God is when it comes to the issue of trust.
Ha o sheba lentswe la Modimo o wa bona gore Modimo ke ntho o nka tshepo le ntho bohlokwa haholo.
There are a lot of scriptures we can see on them how serious God takes the issue of trust. Remember how he will not even allow his people Israel to keep the manna for the next day. Why is that? Because he wants his people not to depend on the things that they have, but to look only unto him and depend only on him and trust only on him. Simply because he alone is God. You do not believe in him when you don't trust in him. So friends, trust matters. Trust is actually a matter of life and death. When a man or a husband wants to take a risky decision and then he goes to his wife and he doesn't want his wife to have some kind of a doubt in what he's saying, what the husband will say to the wife first will be asking a question actually first and says, "Do you trust me?" And the poor lady will just have to say yes. Then the man will then tell the story and tell them the woman his plan. Regardless how terrible, how risky the plan is, you said you trust me. So the argument from that time on is you said to trust me. Because trust matters. But because of sin, people will link trust with temporal happiness instead of the divine fulfillment that is found in God. That is why those who pursue happiness, they are willing to do just anything to obtain happiness. And consequently, they will divorce themselves from the word of God and devote themselves to what they trust or whom they trust. You read from the book of Genesis, it is quite clear that man would rather trust himself or trust the enemy than trusting God. We all know the story of Adam and Eve. But because of that, God pronounced a curse upon man. He says in Genesis 3, "To the woman, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing." In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And he says to Adam, because you listen to your wife, you listen to the voice of your wife. In other words, you trusted your wife. You obeyed your wife. When you have eaten of the fruit of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat. Cursed is the ground because of you. And in pain, you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Stones and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the fields. All this is because men fail to trust God. So what I want us to see first this morning is that trusting in men brings about a curse. Verse 5 and 6. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in men and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in an inherited salt land. Trusting in men brings about a curse. And that is bad news, my friends. It is bad news because when you trust in men, then you move God out of the picture. You begin to search and seek for help from mere men. Men, mortals like you. And in times of crisis, you have no hiding place. But the man who trusts in God, in times of crisis, his confidence is in the Lord. We'll see that later. In this chapter then, chapter 17, Jeremiah reveals the sins of Judah to us. Yes, they have hardened their hearts and will not listen to the Lord. They will not even hear the threatening words that comes from the prophet of God. His message of sin and judgment was not welcomed among the people. The people wanted prophets who will tell them what they wanted to hear, not prophets who will tell them what God wants them to hear. The leaders, the kings of Judah, they trusted in foreign kings for protection. They enjoyed the messages from false prophets. They trusted in men rather than in God. They had hard hearts. Hearts of stone. Hearts engraved with sin. Let's read verse number 1. Heart engraved with a pen of iron, engraved on the tables of their hearts. Sin is engraved.
Verse 1.
So they're trusting in men. And it is the same today, my friends. We do not trust in God unless God fits in with our programs, unless God fits in with what we want to do, our plans. Sometimes we act like we trust in him, but what we do is we will give him a time frame. He must operate according to our own terms. Look how terrible it is when men trust in men. Verse number 2, it says, their children were not trained in the ways and the commandments of God, but in following false gods.
So
teaching their children how to follow false gods, taking away the privilege to know God. Breaking the commandment of God that says fathers must teach their children from the young age onward that they may know the oracles of God. Friends, that is the picture of a nation which does not know God relational. The people had their own heroes, people whom they will put their trust, people in whom they will look up to. And God was not considered. What happens when God is not considered? What happens when God is moved out of the picture? People begin to have their own heroes. They look up to them. Sin abounds in the world. Wickedness rules. Evil reigns. The grievous state of man's heart is exposed. Man loses the shame of trusting in man. It becomes norm to trust in man. You become a fool when you begin to say, I trust in God. We read, I'm going to read just verse 5. You read it in Sota, read it again. Remember, cursed is the man who trusts in men and makes flesh his strength. So God says here to the children of Israel, to this house of Judah, it looks like you have chosen to trust in men. But guess what? Those who trust in men are cursed. Because you have put confidence on the flesh. In other words, you have trusted mortals rather than trusting God, who is immortal and who lives forever. What was God talking about here? He was rebuking his people for putting their trust in the armies of this world, putting their trust in their relationship and the alliances they formed with Egypt. The same Egypt who oppressed them for 400 years, now that they are out of Egypt, they look back and see Egypt as friends. Here in Isaiah chapter 31 verse 3, God is exposing the foolishness of trusting in men. He says the Egyptians are men and they are not God, and their horses are flesh, not spirit. So what will happen? When the Lord stretches out his hand, the helper will stumble. That is Egypt. And he who is helped will fall. That is Judah. And they will all perish together. You and your helper will just disappear. Because you are all flesh, you are all men. That is a picture of a Christian, my friend, turning to the world, turning to the enemy for help. But the problem is, the people of God assuming that they are a blessed people. How can you be a blessed person without a genuine relationship with God, without a genuine devotion to God? Is it not true that many professing Christians don't even know God these days? Relational. They don't trust God. We trust our own mouths, because what we speak somehow is power. We trust our own faith, trusting in me, trusting on my friend, that if my friend can pray for me, I'll be fine. So when trouble comes, I don't go to God, I go to my friend. Is it not what we see these days? Trusting false prophets, trusting their oil, trusting their water, trusting the candles. And God is moved away. My friend, I'm saying this so that I'm warning you. That is not good. God says you are cursed if you put your trust in man. You can be so confident that you are saved, but if you put your trust in man, you are cursed. So the question that you might be asking then, why would people trust in man? Let me put it that way. Well, verse number 9 gives us the answer. He says, the heart is deceitful above all things. It is desperately sick. I'm not going to expound that one. Not for today. But this is what I can tell you. The problem is with the heart. Is the heart that is without God. So if there has to be a change, the change has to be in the heart. If there has to be a turnaround in this situation, in this issue of trust, it has to be a matter of the heart being replaced, not the heart being worked on in some way. The heart must be replaced, because the natural heart is corrupt completely. So, what do you need? A new heart. We'll get to that. The natural heart is completely wicked. There's nothing in it that is worth of good use. So the problem is with the heart. The inner thoughts, the motives of the heart are the problem. Because it is the heart that drives you to do what you do. It is the heart that fools you. And if that's the case, then surely the answer cannot come out of the very same heart. The answer cannot come from that sinful and deceitful heart. The answer had to come from somewhere else. We will look at that. So God says to his people here, you think you are so smart? You think you do not need me? Because you have found yourself men whom you will trust. Guess what? We are not smart.
How?
Because you have believed a lie. And you tend to believe your own lie. Your heart deceives you. And that's all your heart can do, just deceive you. Why? Why? The heart is engraved in sin. Verse number one. It's desperately sick. So for you to trust in man, it is the proof that your heart is engraved with sin. And for trusting in men, you are cursed. Because you have chosen to trust those whom you should never trust. People who will not keep their words. People who are deceived just like you. And that issue of trusting in men, friends, is not only looking forward or somewhere else and say you're trusting in men. It also speaks of you trusting in you. So the people are guilty. They trust their alliances, the other nations for protection, instead of looking to God. And you might think that God had nothing for them. No, that's not so. At the core of their relationship with God lies the promise of God to look after them, to protect them, to lead them in righteousness. The same God who says to us today, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Is he not the God that we have forsaken? As to, I'm talking general now. Is he not the God that we are not looking up to now? My friends, it is possible that we are guilty of the same. That's why you need to ask yourself all the time, how much do you trust God? Is that evident in your communication with God in prayer? Is that evident in your love to hear God speak to you through his word, in the preaching of his word? Is your trust evident? Are you one of those who flock to the church, to the churches, to hear God's word? Or is there any other agenda behind? Praise the Lord. Because I'm convinced that most of us, or all of us,
we seek to hear.
We pray. Because it is a curse.
Trust in men.
That is why all the time we need to ask ourselves, friends, whom do I trust? Because, friends, you cannot trust in men. Men will fail you. You cannot trust in your house. Your house can be burnt down. You cannot trust in your own job. You can lose it any time. You cannot trust anything else but God. In verse number 6, Jeremiah gives us an example of how foolish it is to trust in men. Look at verse 6. He makes the comparison between a shrub. A shrub is a small bush. He makes a comparison between a shrub and a tree. A tree is that kind of a plant that has its root deep on the soil. Let's see there, verse number 6. The man who trusts in man, he is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good comes. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness. The idea here to compare these two is because both of these are in the desert. Just as the wise men and the foolish men are in the world together, so the shrub and the tree here are in the desert. Both, they are subject to the harsh conditions of the desert. Yes, the shrub and the tree. But what makes the difference
is
what happens below, what happens underneath. Where the roots are, that's what makes the difference. So the tree will endure hardship. The tree will stand bad conditions because it is rooted well. There you see the picture of a person who trusts in God. He's like that tree. He's rooted well. But the shrub is not able to, because the shrub doesn't have long roots. Although it may look beautiful on the surface, the shrub sometimes look very beautiful on the surface because it gets the temporal water that is in the surface. It looks good, but even so, it dries quicker. That's what you see in verse number 6. That is the picture of a man who trusts in man. He suffered the consequence of a cursed life. But secondly, we have seen now it is a curse to trust in man. We don't want to trust in man. Because God is going to say to us, we are cursed. But secondly, we see that it is a blessing then to trust in God. Thank you. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. Let me read verse 8. He is like a tree planted by water that sent out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes, for it leaves remains green and is not anxious in the year of drought. There we see what sits well with us. Blessed is the man whose trust is in the Lord, whom the Lord is his trust. Listen to this witness, this evidence. Psalm 40, verse
4.
Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud. He does not turn to those who go astray after a lie.
aka tshepeng ba elore ne ba lahleha ka baka la mashamo.
Lalela lena kahle.
Mamela mona he.
Listen to this carefully. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whom the Lord is his trust. See, normally we trust God for his blessings. We trust God for his blessings. That is not entirely wrong. But the verse here, the Bible says here, trusting God in itself, trusting God itself is the blessing. Not trusting God for the blessing, but trusting God itself is already a blessing. Simply because you begin to focus your life in God for God. That's very important. Simply because trusting in God shows your confidence in God. You humbly believe that all things by God's blessing will succeed well with you. You trust God because you know there is nothing else, there is no one else. You trust God because all other ground is sinking sand. You know that. You have tried it. You have failed. You trust God because man is weak, but God is almighty. You trust God because man is selfish, but God is passionate. He's compassionate with you. You trust God because man is faithless and is deceitful, but God is faithful and is just to forgive your sin. You trust God because man dies and are forgotten, but God lives forever. But the question is, why is it a blessing then? We see how is it a blessing, but why is it a blessing? Because trusting God is knowing God. That is why it is a blessing. The greatest blessing in this world, my friends, is to know God, and to know God through His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. That is why this is a blessing. Because trusting God is a proof that you are redeemed. We have a redeemed heart. The heart that is deceitful has been taken away. You've been given a heart of flesh. A heart that now is willing to listen to God, to bow to God, to hear God's words. Listen to this verse, Psalm 112. Verse 6 and 7. For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm. That is ESV. You go to the King James. It says his heart is fixed in trusting in God. That is why. That is a blessing. Your heart is fixed. No one can move it. Because you trust in God. That's why we are called the blessed one. Verse 8 here, it says, it's like a tree planted by water, back to our text, that sends out its roots by the streams, and does not fear when heat comes, and its leaves remains green. So what you see here, so what you see there is that if you choose to root your life deep into the soil of God through trust in Jesus, then you will be like a tree planted by the stream. A tree which does not fear when trouble comes. A tree which does not fear when heat comes. That's what the text says. But its leaves remains green. But you can see that this tree is the picture of a person. Because God says there, and this tree will not be anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. A tree will not be anxious, only a man can be anxious. So if you are in court, there is no need for you to fear trouble and trials when they come. But this word anxious, it also shows you a picture of a man who trusts in man. They are always worried. What's going to happen? My hope is in him. What am I going to do if he dies? But what is the defining feature in your life? The defining feature in your life is whom do you trust? Where you put your trust? So why is it a blessing? Because your life is in God, for God. We are like a tree. We always have the resources, spiritual resources. You recognize that early in the morning, the sun was not in the sky because there were clouds in the sky. Guess what? The sun was there, although there were clouds. In the same way, God is always there for you, even though there might be something that looks like a big rock or a big mountain to climb, but God is always there. He does not move, he does not sleep, nor slumber. He's not weak like man. He does not even take a break. Let's close like this. The third thing I want us to see, answering a question. We have seen now the consequences of trusting in man is a cursed life. But there is beauty and joy in trusting in God, because you become the blessed one. You become the blessed one. We have God who takes care of you. We have God who lacks nothing. But how can you be a blessed man? How can a deceitful heart escape the curse and be counted among the children of God? That is the question. Trusting man is a curse. Trusting in God is a blessing. But how do I escape the curse to be the one who trusts in God? How did I come to be the one who trusts in God? That's the question. How can I be this man in verse 7 and 8? Because the Bible says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He's like a tree planted by the water that sets out its root by the streams, and does not fear when it comes, for its leaves remains green, and is not anxious in a year of drought, and he does not worry about anything. and he does not The answer lies in verse number 9's question. Verse 9 says, who can understand the heart? He says the heart is wicked, is deceitful, but the last part says, who can understand it? Who can know it? Who can cure this heart? Can angels understand his heart? No. Does the devil understand the heart? No. Man understands a little bit, but God is the one that understands the heart. Verse 10 tells us that it is God who says that. So God is the only one then who understands the heart. So for me, to have this heart that will reflect God's glory, or that will desire to reflect God's glory and escape the curse, I must be in God, because God is the one who understands the heart. Look at verse 10 in your Bible. There we should see that God will always respond to those who trust in men. Yes. He says, he gives every man according to his ways. According to the fruit of his deeds, God gives. Yes. So if you trust in men, you will get what you deserve. You trust in God, you will get God's blessings. So there we see a picture of righteous judgment. God will respond to those who trust in men. God will respond to the curse. Psalm 1 verse 6. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. But also God responds to those who trust in him. My good and faithful servant, enter into the kingdom prepared for you by my Father from the foundation of the end. In verse number 11, Jeremiah communicates this in a very terrifying way, my friends, if you look there. He says, regardless of your success, if you trust in men, you are like a bird. You know, a bird. Inyoni. He says, you are like a bird that lays claim to eggs you did not lay. That's verse number 11. Because at the end of the day, you have nothing. What happens? The verse 11 explains. He says, when it's all said and done, the eggs will hatch and the young ones will seek their mother. So you're building nest in something that is not yours. You're running after vain things, man. So in other words, God says, if you trust in men, you'll be happy for a little while. And when it's all said and done, check the last part of verse number 11. It says, in the midst of his days, in the midst of your days, or the person who trusts in men, in the midst of his days, they will leave him. The little birds that comes from the hatch eggs will leave. And at the end, he will be a fool. So in other words, at the end, you will be alone. But you must still face God. And you're going to face God alone. So the question is, my friends, what is the solution to this heart? A heart which does not trust in God and trust in man. A heart which rejects and hates God and enjoys sin. And it would rather trust in the Creator than the Creator. Your answer is in verse 12 and 13. The salvation of God. That is the only way one can trust in the Lord. There must be a healing of that heart so that you may begin to trust in God, so that you may hope in God, so that you may depend in God. The heart must be healed. Why am I saying verse 11, 12 and 13? Why am I saying 13 and 12? Because verse 13 tells you, verse 12 actually speaks first of a heaven. It speaks of the glorious throne set on high from the beginning in the place of our sanctuary. From the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. But here is the solution, the salvation of God. The Bible speaks of heaven. It speaks of that glorious throne set on high, where our Lord sits and He reigns. So God says, you need to focus unto heaven. You need to see one seated on the throne. You need to accept one who reigns. Verse number 13, read what it says. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be put to shame. Those who turn away from you shall be written on earth, and for they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water. So my friends, the answer is in the Lord. You need to look up to that glorious throne. You need to lift up your eyes unto the Lord, the hope of Israel, because all who forsake the Lord shall be put to shame. All who trust in anything else but the Lord shall be known in this earth. So in other words, they will be exposed. Their lies and their deceit will be seen. Everybody will see. Oh, so as for you, draw near to God. Draw near to what He calls here the place of our sanctuary, the temple of God, Jesus Christ Himself, the fountain of living water, in verse number 13. Because it is Jesus who says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whosoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. There's a curse. There is a blessing. Whom do you trust? Are you a blessed man or a cursed man? Are you in Christ or are you in the world? Can you confidently say, Jesus is mine? And I am His. He has saved me. He has saved me. I believed in Him. And I trusted Him. Can you confidently say that? If you can, you are the blessed one. Amen. Let's pray.
Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.